Hello, no BS. Come on in. I am Coach Betsy, who's ready to talk all things binging tonight. I'm going to bring Coach Kathy up to help me in the chat, in the Q&A. Y'all come in and say hi in the chat. Let me know you can hear me. Kind of move some things around in here. Hello, Miss Danielle. All right, thank y'all. Thank y'all so much for the do for the thumbs up. All right, there we go. Where's my chat? Why is it popping out? I'm gonna pop it back in. Okay. All right. I just got a little box that popped up that's talking about closed captioning. That's always a good little reminder that we do have captioning available. It's, y'all, the technology is amazing. And that you can turn on down at the bottom the CC button, and that will automatically start going for you. And be sure your chat is set to everyone. I think everyone is set to everyone. Let's see, Holly, Laurie. Crystal, a few of y'all just change your chat over to everyone so we can all see you, not just me. And all right, y'all, we are going to do some coaching today. I'm going to talk a little bit about just something that's kind of I've seen come up in Ask Coaches the last few days, and about specifically around binging. But whoever is interested in getting coached today on binging, overeating, all that kind of stuff, you can go ahead and raise your hand. I would love to help you all with any of that stuff. And actually, I forgot to change my name, didn't I? And that's kind of prompting me to introduce myself. So for those of you all who don't know me, some of you all may be new. I'd love to hear who is newly joined. You are not new, Jean. Jean is posting, and that shops a lot in the chat, and she's old school with me and Kathy. Yeah, the old P&P days. I am Coach Betsy, and speaking of, I've been around forever. Me and Kathy are old school, and I found Corinne way back in 2006, something like that, on a Weight Watchers message board. And the rest is history. I've lost 70 pounds with no BS. But I do like to include sometimes that I've lost weight twice with no BS. So I lost about 50 pounds back in 2011, 2012, and went through a big breakup in 2013 and gained most of that weight back. And then in 2015, I lost about 70 pounds, and it's gone forever. So you can absolutely have a regain and lose your weight for the last time after that. That is absolutely possible. And also during that time, sometime during that time, I started binging. And you can absolutely lose weight as you're binging. You don't have to totally stop binging to lose weight. And I always just like to say that I do binge sometimes still. It looks a little bit different than it did in the past. It's not quite as much food as it was in the past, but even if I chose to binge and it was just as much food as it's been in the past, way back when, that would be okay too, because I have learned how to love myself through my binges. And I've also learned that actually binging is me and my old habit brain just trying to love me and trying to take care of me and trying to keep me safe in its way. And so when I really truly came to believe that binging was not something that was broken or wrong about me, that it was just a habit that I practiced for a while, and my brain thought that was the best way to protect me in the moment. And so it was a game changer, y'all. It was just a huge game changer. So, Crystal asked, what is the definition of a binge? That's a very common question that we get. And we actually have a lesson in the Trusting Your Body course that really lays out the typical definition of a binge. And I say typical because different people can define binges in different ways, so don't overthink it too much. But the typical definition is something like a large amount of food in a small amount of time. And again, large is different to everyone. And it's often eaten in secret because there is a lot of shame attached to it often. And so, yeah, and it's just kind of however you define that. But again, don't get too caught up in, is this a binge? Is this an overeat? Just get curious about what's going on in the moment. And what's usually happening is that you're not feeling safe in some way, shape, form, or fashion, is that you're not feeling safe and your brain just doesn't know what else to do but throw up some urges to binge. And that's actually what I was going to talk about before we get into some coaching. We've got a couple of people who've raised their hands. Yes, Lori, definitely binging can be on foods you don't even like all that much. That's common too. That's not unique at all. It's really not so much often about the food itself. It's really not at all about the food itself. It is wanting to check out, wanting to escape yourself, wanting to really move into this mode of self-protection where you're not even in full consciousness sometimes. And that's why we eat so much sometimes. So normal. But I was going to talk, speaking of normal, I was going to talk about a few of the questions that I answer today and ask coaches about y'all. I just am so proud of so many of the No BS women here in the membership who are reaching out and ask coaches, and they're seeing patterns with their binging. And that's what I want all of you to get really curious about when you think about your binges, your overeats, and that's the power of discovery worksheets, is to really think about patterns. And here's where we get sometimes when we're recognizing patterns, we get into shame and judgment because we're like, there I go again. I had a my, my kid did something at school and I ate. I'll never figure this out, blah, blah, blah. Or we could say, okay, when Johnny Jr. does something, I eat. When he does something, when he gets in trouble at school, I eat. Let me get curious. And that's happened like four or five times now. Let me get curious about what's going on here. There's some kind of pattern going on. And we've had some people in Ask Coaches reach out about that and talk about their patterns. And y'all, that is such a huge win for us to recognize, oh my gosh, I see that this is happening over and over again. And if we use the example of Johnny Jr. getting in trouble at school, it could be something like when he gets in trouble, it taps on some sort of little insecurity about her as a mom. I'm not a good enough mom. Should have done this, should have done that. I'm not doing this right. He should have a different mom. And that feels terrible. And so, of course, we want to escape ourselves in that moment and we eat. So it's so important to keep doing discovery worksheets, to find some compassion in each one of those and some curiosity in each one of those discovery worksheets so you can recognize your patterns of thinking that leads you to binge. And then the key, and this is what I was writing about today and Ask Coaches, because a lot of y'all were write in about these patterns, and then it's like, okay, and then now like, what do I do to like not binge anymore? And like, or what do I do? Really, what do I do to not like have these urges to binge anymore? Like you recognize the pattern and that's great. But a pattern, if you think about what a pattern is, it wants to repeat itself over and over again. And so the key after you recognize the pattern is to normalize the urges that come along with it. The urges to binge are part of the pattern. We just want the urges to go away. But y'all, we are always going to have urges. I have urges. Coach Kathy, don't you have our urges too still? Y'all, the key to all of this is to normalize our urges. If we normalize them and say, okay, this is just an urge. I know why this is happening. Johnny Jr. got in trouble at school again. We don't make the urges such a big deal. If we're not making the urges a big deal, we're much less likely to eat. Because here's the deal, y'all. There's a lot of room in between an urge and a decision to eat and the eating itself. Our goal is to kind of widen that space in between the urge and the decision to eat. Sometimes we talk about pausing, and that's where we can start with 10 seconds. Ooh, I have an urge. I'm going to sit here for 10 seconds before I decide what I'm going to do, whether I'm going to eat or not. And then you start to just widen it more and more, where you really do get used to just being with an urge. Okay, so normalizing your urges is so key. All right, somebody in the Q&A asked, what types of things do you binge on? popcorners, cereal, ice cream, trail mix, granola, all kinds of things like that. Those are kind of my go-to binge foods. So Nutella, yep, Lisa. I mean, why don't we kind of put in the chat, if y'all want to, what you binge on? This helps us all feel normal, y'all. It's like, let's just get it out there. I always say shame can't survive out in the open, out in the light. Let's get these foods out in the light here. Let's get this out in the light and not hide and, you know, keep everything in the pantry. So y'all can see everybody's posting in the chat what they binge on. So you're not the only one. You're not different. You're not the broken unicorn. We all have our foods, and I like to kind of sometimes go back and forth between sweet and salty. That's something some people like to do. So it's just something I do every once in a while. And it's just not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Something I always want to kind of get curious about. But it doesn't define me. It doesn't, it's not a source of shame anymore. It's just a habit that comes back every once in a while. And like I said, it's really, my brain is trying to take care of me in its way. Just doesn't know what else to do in that moment. So it throws up an urge to binge. All right. Well, we've got three people with their hand raised here. So let's get to some coaching. And y'all can ask me any other questions in the Q&A. I'll save a little bit of time at the end. And we're going to talk about, Janet, we're going to talk about, well, one way to get rid of the shame is to talk about our binges openly with each other. This is what I'm doing. This is what happened today. Just talking about it and sharing can help a lot with the shame. Okay. And the Trusting Your Body course can help you a lot with that too. All right. We got Carol, Karen, and Melinda. So Carol, you are up first. Let's do this. Anything Tillamook. Love that. Let's see, Carol. Let me make sure I push the button here. Okay, so you're coming up, Carol. Seeing you, Carol. I'm gonna bring up Karen. Oh, wait, there's Carol. Never mind. Okay, there's Carol. Let's see. There we go. I'm going to ask you to unmute, Carol. I think Zoom's just a little slow today. Ask you to unmute, ask you to start your video. You don't have to start your video if you don't want to. You can just talk to me on, but you do need to unmute so I can hear you. Carol, I'm not seeing you or hearing you. Okay. Carol disappeared, so I think maybe she didn't mean to raise her hand. So Karen, you're up next. Carol pops back up again. We'll deal with it. There she is.
Here I am.
Let me add you here next to me. Okay. Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
I realize that even though I'm doing better with binges, I miss the feeling I have when I do binge.
Like, what do you miss?
I think a combination of the escape from whatever I'm thinking or dealing with. And I think I find that fullness kind of a sense of security.
Interesting. Yeah.
I'm doing better at working through the emotions. Like today, I had some nerves going, and there was all my favorites, somebody dumped their Halloween candy at work, and it was really hard, but I said no. I was able to say, that if I'm going to do this, that's not going to be on the food, those foods.
Okay. So you're seeing, like, you're making level ups, right? It's not just
Yeah.
any foods. It's, okay, if I'm a binge, it's gonna be on something, it's gonna be on something else. We can call that a win for sure. But let's go back to the security and the escape. Like, I don't think that's, that's not abnormal, right? That's,
Yeah.
yeah. I mean, if we didn't like how it felt in the moment, we wouldn't keep doing it. And I think we just kind of got to be with that, where it's like, okay, yeah. I mean, and then we add on that it's just a habit that your brain throws up. It's like, okay, I see how this keeps happening. And like, it's also got a long-term consequence.
I think that's part of what stopped me today was thinking about where I want to be. And specifically, I have set a goal of coming to the September camp live. And actually, I think that's part of where the nerves were too. And I was able to stop myself because it's like I don't want to show up, further away from my goals than closer.
And this is really what I was talking about with normalizing your urges in the moment. And like, let's talk about what urges sound like. They sound like, oh my gosh, it would be so great to just check out right now and just zone out and escape. And yeah, like, I really like that feeling of, full. It just, it's like, let's just let that voice, let's give that urge a voice instead of trying to say, shut up, or, no, it's not, or,
And I
battle
think
it.
the scary part was because my friend asked me, can you just pick the best one and just have that when you're ready? And I was able to say no, because I felt like that would open the gate. And I could even feel in my body the frenzy feeling.
I think that's okay. Where it's like, you know what? No. Like, maybe some days I might be able to just do that. That was a good suggestion. But you know yourself.
Yeah, and I was pretty much alone at work. So there was the realization that I could have taken the whole grocery bag of it and hidden my office and nobody would have known but me.
Not you. And then you're a big you. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of like.
So yeah, but, like, you took that suggestion and you were like, no, I think I'm going to make this easier on myself and just not eat anything right now.
But I think what another thing that got me was how strong the knowledge that it would be a feeding frenzy. And I think that kind of made me nervous too, because of the holidays coming. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be food that I really do think is worth eating.
Okay. So there's going to be foods that you do want to eat, right? It's again, it's not, sometimes it's not, you don't want to just be like, I'm not going to eat anything. There are going to be times that you do want to eat some things and not other things. Like what I hear going on, Karen, is like, you're starting to kind of question these like out of control, like that you're out of control mm-hmm. around food. You know, mm-hmm. it's just kind of starting to kind of bubble up a little bit where it's like, you know, you're hearing kind of feeding frenzy or I wouldn't be able to stop. And like, you're like, but you know, there's some things coming up where I do want to eat some things. And
I guess I'm trying to figure out how to temper eating some versus all my guests are gone. I'm left alone with the desserts and. Mm-hmm.
It's exactly what I was talking about a minute ago. Normalizing the urges.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to have urges after everyone goes home, probably. Let's say, you know, 98% chance. We're not mm-hmm. going to live in la-la land here. Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's not going to be the turkey breast that I want.
Right. No. No, it's not going to be the turkey. It's going to be. And so then, but this is so great that you're already kind of thinking about this. Because then it's like, okay, I'm probably going to have urges for these desserts after everybody leaves. Could I set myself up for, like, so the urges are going to be there. We're not going to kind of go back and forth on that. And that's normal and expected. Because I am a normal human being with, you know, habits, you know, urge mm-hmm. habits and things. And so now what? How could I set myself up for success? You're already doing it by normalizing the urges, but what else could you do?
Well, that's what I was looking, because since I'm hosting mm-hmm. and I said I would take care of the desserts. Mm-hmm. So I started hunting and a lot of conflicting things in my head, because it's like, well, I don't want to make something I don't want. But I don't want to make something that's too good. And
what do you mean too good?
Something that I will want to greatly indulge in. I think what I would like to do instead of some of the traditional desserts mm-hmm. is figure out something that I can freeze leftovers individually.
Okay. That's a great example of setting yourself up. Like, again, going into this with eyes wide open and like, okay, yeah, I'm going to have some urges for this.
Yeah. Cause I can visualize in my head, everybody being gone and me with half a pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
And a spoon.
Yeah. So it's like, instead of a pumpkin pie and a spoon, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing? Maybe even like while everyone is still there. Or even like ahead of time where you don't even have, you know, like there is no way pumpkin pie and a spoon is happening. Could happen.
Well, definitely send leftovers. There's only going to be four of us. So there's not going to be a lot. Look for recipes that are smaller.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you just make less food to begin with.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be a 9 by 13. An 8 by 8 would be...
I think that this is so good, like, to even kind of think through. I mean, four people, right? Like, how much do you really need?
Yeah, I guess that was part of what I was questioning, too. It's like, how, I guess since it's my house and I'm setting the menu, it doesn't have to be traditional Thanksgiving desserts.
Yeah. You're in charge, sounds like.
Or I can say, if you want a pumpkin pie, you need to bring it and take it home.
And take it home. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's really about this kind of larger question of how can I make this as easy as possible to set myself up for success while normalizing the urges at the same time, right? Setting this foundation of I'm normal. I'm going to have urges. I've overeaten this stuff in the past. It makes sense that I would have urges. So let me kind of plan from there, from the normal expectation. And then, yeah, how can I make it as easy as possible for me? How can there be like no way I can't be successful?
And I think, I know it, you know, everybody around me keeps saying it's too early for planning. And it's like, I want to make it through Thanksgiving successfully and use that as momentum to get through Christmas.
Yeah. I mean, isn't Thanksgiving like 2 weeks from Thursday? Isn't that right? I think that's right.
Yeah, something like that. I know I just got my turkey and I have to play Tetris with the freezer in a few minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, it's never too early. I mean, people that are successful plan ahead.
Well, before I know it, it's going to be cookie baking time. And
plan,
I guess now, it's going to be what do you do about the family favorites?
And Corinne's actually going to be doing some calls on
yeah,
on that.
I'm definitely going to have to get those because in my head, I'm just going, oh, no, that nope, that's stuff I can't have around. And I don't want to feel like I can't have it around.
Well, once again, normalize that thinking, right? Like, oh, I'm thinking I can't have this around, but do I want it? Is it something I want to enjoy for the holiday? If it's yes, I mean, if it's no, then I choose not to have it around. But then if you do, then you follow this process we talked about. Okay,
yeah,
how can I enjoy it and then expect urges for more almost always and set myself up for success to allow those urges instead of give in to them?
Just talking and thinking about it has helped immensely because I just realized that I can put things in the far corner of the garage.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to open my garage door in the middle of the night to go around my car to get a cookie.
No.
Especially when it's going to be 0 degrees.
Another great idea is to get some accountability on board. Like, hey, accountability partner or group or face, you know, make a Facebook post and say, hey, y'all, this is my plan. And y'all watch. I'm coming back in here to post that I followed it like a boss.
I like that, too.
That's the power of external accountability. Let's take advantage of it. We got this amazing community.
Definitely.
That will help us. Okay. I can tell the wheels are turning.
They are. I've got a lot of things and a lot of recipes to relook at and a little bit more Googling to do smaller recipes of things. And
yes. It's like if I were to kind of, there were no rules, right? If there were, you know, yes, we've got traditions and we may have traditions we want to keep, but not just because it's what we've always done. Is that a good enough reason to keep doing stuff? Or Because Kathy said, if I'm cooking, I decide when I'm making. The family favorites are up to me.
Yeah, I mean, people are, my sister-in-law is bringing sweet potatoes in her stuffing, which her stuffing is why I have Thanksgiving.
Okay. Yeah. So you have things to enjoy.
I can't see anybody like throwing a fit if there isn't a pumpkin pie.
That's the other thing.
And if they do, right, they're welcome to go find one.
Yeah. There's plenty of pumpkin pies out there. But you know what? It's like, what are we really all doing here? Yes, we're enjoying some foods, but I bet we're kind of connecting, you know, connecting with each other. That's kind of important too. These holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. It's about just the food, but it's about other things too.
It seems like everything is, you know, it's in bulk and stockpiled.
Yeah. But it doesn't have to be. And you can also throw some stuff away.
Oh, that just, yeah.
All right. Well, you got the, like, okay. I said, you got the wheels turning.
I'm gonna move. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care. See ya.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Melinda, I'm going to bring you up. Good holiday discussions. All right, Melinda, ask you to unmute. Ask you to start your video. Hey.
Hello, my friend. How are you?
Friend, how are you? Good to see ya.
Good. Good to see you.
Yes. What's up?
So I was in the middle of watching a football game Saturday when I saw you go live on about the QVC lady. Mm-hmm. And so I went down that rabbit hole. And I was coached several weeks ago by Corinne because I had been on Ozempic for a year. And I really was convinced that Ozempic kept me from binge eating. And luckily, like being coached by her and then just doing a ton of thought work since then, I've realized it helped a little. But the fact that I was notified in August that as of October 1, I wouldn't be able to get it anymore. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I started binging again in August and September. Yes. And so
while you were still on it, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've really worked a lot these last several weeks on proving to myself that I can't give Ozempic all the credit. I have so much shame about binging. You and Jane have both really helped to relieve a little bit of that just by talking about it and being so honest about it, but I still just have a lot of shame about it. And
why? What is shame is a feeling. So what is the thinking around your shame? What do you think about just the fact that you binge sometimes?
I mean, when you said that, I immediately thought of the word glutton, like I'm a glutton. I don't know.
Well, isn't it interesting, right? That like, it's so easy for you, like I have so much shame, but then mm-hmm. when we really dig into it, like, I mean, you gotta have a thought, right? That creates mm-hmm. that feeling. And mm-hmm. so we gotta look at that thinking. But you're like, well, I'm a glutton, but then, I mean, I, you know, kind of hear like, you're kind of not quite so sure about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So is it really, you know,
yeah.
What's so bad about binging?
I just keep thinking of the same thing again, like being a glutton. I honestly don't even know what that word means.
Okay. So
is it biblical? Like
it's one of the seven, what is it? One of the seven deadly sins. And
yeah.
So I'm thinking about seven.
So I think like I compare it to a sin. I really do. I mean, I know when I had some coaching with you, I was really stressed out all the time over work, and I would stop at the gas station after work and get my king size candy bars and all that, and I felt like it was heroin. I've never done heroin, but that's what it felt like I was so desperate for it that it like I compared it to heroin, and I think I remember you being like, it's not heroin.
Well, I think this is, I mean, because there's been some questions in the chat too about just this, like, I think this is where equal airtime can kind of help us, where it's like, we're not going to just get out of like, oh, binging, you know, we're not going to just all of a sudden be, you know, binging is okay or binging is normal or things like that. I am there, but that's taken me years, you know, to get there. I'm not saying it'll take everybody years, but it's this just opening up to, okay, there's part of me that thinks it's a sin or it's wrong or it's this big deal. What else maybe could it be? Or is there some part of me that thinks something different? Or even just Coach Betsy thinks this about her binging. And that just cracks open the door a little bit.
And I think it has. I think the door's cracked. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But just like when I listened to the woman's podcast, mm-hmm. and she was talking about losing 37 pounds in 2 months, I'm like, oh, bitch, please. I'm like, you are doing something. like you were on Ozempic. You were on something. Like I couldn't even believe her. But I want to believe that it's just a decision. Like her whole thing was, it's just a decision. You have to decide. And so I've thought about it a lot, thinking like, I identify so much as a binge eater, mm-hmm. that it's like, that's my decision. Like I'm deciding every day that I'm a binge eater.
To kind of maintain that identity. And that's what, you know, the other thing she talked about in the podcast, and this is for everyone's kind of asking, I did a live on Saturday in the binge support group, and we'll put that link to the live in the write-up. Or Kathy, if you can find the link real quick, we can do that. But she just, the key takeaways from that podcast, I mean, she lost a lot of weight in a short amount of time. I don't know, you know, yeah, I don't know what's going on. But I mean, the key thing there was that she really focused on how it was a decision that she made. And then that so often we elevate and kind of put the struggle of weight loss. And what you're talking about too, I mean, part of your struggle is, I am a binge eater. That's just who I am. And we put it up on this pedestal. We really kind of worship this struggle because that's really all we've ever known. I mean, and that may be all you've ever known, maybe even kind of, you know, in your adult life, as I am a binger. And so we see why we put it up on this pedestal and why we kind of worship this identity, because we haven't considered any other identity. Mm-hmm. And that's scary. That's a scary thing. To say, oh my gosh, maybe I'm really not who I always thought I was. And a lot of us, that's too scary for us to go to. So we do stay in this old identity. And then we do things to maintain that identity. Mm-hmm. Of weight loss is hard. I'm just a binger. And so we see how we're just kind of staying in the more comfortable, familiar place.
Yeah.
But that's all we're doing, right? But we gotta start with what's going on first.
Yeah.
You know, and how, like, but that's all it is. We're just repeating a habit. We're just repeating a comfortable, you know, comfortable in terms of familiar pattern.
Yeah.
And so the decision that she made, and the decision, you know, we can make, is to do something different, is to build a new identity. That was the point of the podcast, right? That she did, but that decision, it's a decision.
And yeah. And I think that what I got the most out of it was, she talked about, we try all these actions, we take these actions, but if we
truly focus on the how.
Yeah. But if we truly haven't wholeheartedly made the decision, like that has to come first.
Yeah. And it really can sound, the decision can sound something as simple as like, oh, remember, we're not a binger anymore. Mm-hmm. Oh, remember, weight loss is easy. Or weight loss is easier than I think it is. It's got to be something that's pretty believable, but, yeah. You know, like, and then you make decisions, you do things based on that decision, because that decision is just a thought that you're thinking over and over and over again. Every day you're redeciding who you want to be. So who do you want to be?
What's your decision?
What'd you say?
Not a binger. Okay. I mean, I know this is easy for me to say, but if I weighed 195 pounds for the rest of my life, I would trade that for not being a binger. Like, to me, not being a binger is more important than what I weigh.
So I think it might be interesting. Some good journaling would be for you to be like, okay, if I don't want to be a binger, who do I want to be? Who do I want to be? What kind of relationship do I want with food? Because mm-hmm. sometimes it's like, okay, I don't want to binge. And that's a good start for developing this new decision, this new identity. But if I'm not a binger, who am I? Who am I around food? Who am I around my urges to binge? Because they're probably not going anywhere. Just because we make the decision doesn't make the urges to do the old stuff go, you know, poof.
Why not?
If I can make that happen. All right. So that's some good, you know, homework for you to just kind of explore that in your journaling, and then bring it on over to Ask Coaches if you need more help. Okay.
Okay. Sounds okay.
Good to see you. All right. You too. All right, Lori. Got Lori and Wanda. We should be able to get through both of y'all. Before we get out of here, the time just flies. Hey. Hey.
Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you just fine.
Okay. Well, so far, guys, I jumped into this call just by chance tonight, and it's been amazing. I'm like writing so furiously. I've had so many aha moments already.
Love it. I love you taking notes.
My question is, so I had done really well for months and months and months. Pretty proud of myself. I've gotten from 465 down to 302. I am so close to being somewhere that I haven't been in over 30 years. Mm-hmm. But a couple of weeks ago, I had plateaued and then got frustrated, and then a lot of stuff went on in my life. And I had been coached by Corinne, and that was helping. And that had helped a little bit, but you know, those sticky thoughts sometimes stay stuck. Mm-hmm. So what I'm looking for some ideas or suggestions or reframes. I finally came out of it, but oh my gosh, I was there for 3 weeks where all of a sudden every day was so hard. I was back to that routine of I would do really, really well all day. Nighttime would come, and then I would have my snack that I had planned, and then it was like, then I'd have a zero sugar, like a Jell-O, mm-hmm. but then I'd have an apple. I was still binging on healthy foods,
okay.
So-called healthy foods, right? But it was that sense of that one thing after another. It certainly not was about hunger. It was just about the act of eating. And then I went from kind of that into, I had a planned meal where I was just really like a planned meal out, like a Red Lobster type meal. Just, I was going to enjoy it. I planned for it. But then I reverted back into, well, you've already, you know, that old mentality. You've already had so many calories today. What will it matter? You just really want these chips. You really want those things. And then I went to like a few weeks of where it was like this constant struggle again, and I've had to fight it. So I guess I'd like some suggestions on how not to keep going back there. I get worried every time I'm just going to go back to that free falling that I was for so many years.
Okay. So, but here's the thing. You're here on this call with me, raising your hand to get coached. I don't think that's like it was years ago.
No, definitely not.
You're also, let's just talk about what's different this time. Like you're 2 or 3 weeks. That's not, a real stall or plateau is 4 to 6 weeks minimum.
So no, the plateau was 4 to 6 weeks, but about 3 weeks in, I started with the eating way off plan again.
But still, is it still different than what you, again, we could even just say that the fact that you're here reaching out for help is different this time. Your brain wants to make it like exactly like it was before. No, you're a totally different person. You're an OBS woman. It's very different than it was before. But where are you right now? Are you still doing what you're describing, or are you back at
it? No, I'm back at it.
Okay. Well, that's another really different thing. You're back at it.
But I'm so...
So what's the problem?
I'm so scared of... I just don't always... I just wish it wasn't so hard to come back. I know I'm sounding like I'm whining.
You're thinking like you shouldn't have, it shouldn't have happened that way, or you shouldn't have gone.
I do, yes.
How does it make total sense that you kind of went off for a little while? You said it at the very beginning of the call.
I know, but it's like 9 months. 9 months I didn't binge. So
well,
why?
But hold on, no. I want you to go back. I want you to answer my question. How could it make sense? What could be an explanation for why you went back to overeating for a while? Consistently. What was going on with your weight loss? And I'll tell you if you can't come
What's
up with
that? Plateauing, not seeing that change. I know that was a piece of it. A lot of external things, not feeling in control of some.
Weren't
things
you
that were
really close to being under 300?
Oh, hell yeah. Yes. The first goal was 150, which is what I talked about with Corinne. And I kind of stalled there. And then I got down to where, oh, yeah, I see a pattern.
What is it? What do you see?
Big milestones. Which I had even identified, but forgot again.
You told me at the beginning of the call, I hadn't, somewhere I hadn't been for 30 years.
Yeah.
Like, of course, your brain is like, well, if she keeps talking about how she hadn't been here for 30 years, we aren't supposed to be here now.
Oh.
So let's start eating.
OMG.
So what is, you're going to hear the 30 year thing, probably. You're going to feel the fear. That is normal. But what do you want to tell yourself? Who's the new Lori? The Lori we're building one day at a time, one decision at a time.
That if I have an overeat or even a night of binging, that doesn't need to be where I live.
Yeah, that's a great thought right there. Yeah, like one night does not mean, fuck it the rest of the week or whatever.
It's no longer my identity. It's no longer who I need to define myself as.
And like, it's okay that it feels scary to be going somewhere that I haven't been for 30 years. Like, I think we got to just like go there and say, yeah, this is the big deal. And it's okay to feel scared. And that's why I want to eat sometimes. Like, but what do we want to do here? Isn't this is what we want. And it's okay to feel scared on the way to what we want. But we're not going to get there if we keep eating to, you know, to cover up the fear and to not feel scared.
And I will say that the one big thing that was the hugest difference was I never regained more than 5 pounds. I just stayed around that 5 pound. I'd, you know, do okay for a couple of days and I have an overeat and then I'd, you know, go up that pound or two or whatever over the week. And then I'd come back down again. That is huge because I was still weighing myself. I was still conscious of it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't just let it all go.
So different. So different than Lori of the past, right? You're doing it different. You're already doing it different. And the only thing that really, the next thing, different thing, is to just normalize this fear. Normalize, you know, like, yeah, I hadn't been here for 30 years. But we're doing this. Everything we want, we bring fear along with us. I can't think of anything that we're just not scared of.
Yet it's such a healthy and positive change. Why does our brain let us be afraid of something?
It thinks we're about to die, Lori. Like, if we get under 300, we might die. Mm. I mean, like, that's just so different. Someplace we haven't been in 30 years equals danger, danger.
Right.
It's just trying to protect us. But it's just wrong. You know, it's just mistaken. Because you think it
doesn't make it true.
Exactly. Great reminder. Great reminder. You've got this.
Thank you.
All right. You take care. All right. So good, y'all. All right. We got Miss Wanda to finish us off here. Dark at 5:53 now, y'all. It's that time of year. Hey, you.
So good to see you.
Yeah, so good to see you. How's it going?
Hanging in there. Okay. I have a couple of questions. Okay. So I wanted to know, I don't know why I binge. I have a long, long history of binging. And I don't know why. I know I'm a binger of not just food. I'm a binger mm-hmm. of a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
Like a binger of, I buy stuff in mm-hmm. abundance. Something mm-hmm. I like. I binge on other stuff, a lot of mm-hmm. other stuff other than food.
That's very common. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's just my personality or some. I don't know why I do that. But I had, I'm prepping for this weight loss surgery, which I'm really scared about doing. I'm not 100% sure that I'm going to do it. I've been prepping for it for the last year and a half since July of 2022. Actually, even before that, go back to 2019. That's when I first started the prep and then decided not to do it. And then it's just like, I can't really lose the weight on my own, it seemed like, you know. I mean, you know my story. I lost 170 pounds a while ago, 2008 to 2016, but then put back on 140 of those pounds. And I lost the weight doing massive exercise and mm-hmm. you know, and controlled diet. But now I can't do the exercise. I can barely walk sometimes. But I just want to get the binging under control and lose the weight again. And I am making some progress. I had got all the way back up to 415, and now I'm down to 379.
Okay.
So, yeah, so I'm making some progress, but it's super slow. I noticed, what'd you say?
Well, I was going to say, well, I mean, slow is better than not.
Yeah.
You know, right?
Yeah, slow, I agree.
Slow is subjective, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we all define slow or in fast in a different way. But okay, right. What was your question?
So I wanted to know, like, I had two quick questions.
Yeah.
One is, do you keep your binge food in the house? Because I noticed, like, doing this prep for the weight loss surgery, you know, I can do like do a meal replacement bar or a meal replacement shake. Mm-hmm. And I notice I don't binge on the shakes. But the bars are like candy to me, you know. Mm-hmm. And then last week and it's not the first time I did this, I like I said, I binge on other things. So I buy in bulk large quantities, and I bought a whole different variety because I like variety of bars. And last week I think it was Thursday or Friday, I took 10 bars. I work at home. I took 10 bars upstairs, and then I told myself, Wanda, you shouldn't do this, because I have done that before, and then I wind up eating all of the bars. And then I was like, no, I'm going to do better this time. I'm going to take them upstairs, and then I'm just going to, you know, have them in the office. And then if I don't have to consume them that day, but if I get hungry or I have something there. And sure enough, I got into it, and then I just, you know, did like fucking eat and then just ate all 10.
Okay.
So that's
okay.
My one question. And my other question is, do you, my tendency wanted to do was, okay, you just consume 10 bars, so you don't need anything else for the rest of the day. But I didn't do that. I still ate my planned meals the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to know, do you restrict eating, or do you go back to eating your planned meals? Or, because technically I really ate enough calories to last me a couple of days, but
that's such a good question. Yeah. I've actually been doing some kind of studying on that. And I think for a lot of us who have a history, I'm going to answer the second question first, and then we'll go back to the other one. But I think that, I mean, you asked me, right? Like, or should we restrict, or should we just go and eat the other meal? And I think for a lot of us who have a history of binge eating, it's about building safety with ourselves and our bodies to and building trust with our bodies that we will feed our bodies on a regular basis. And so I think for a lot of, it's not across the board. But I think some of us, it's very important to go ahead and have that meal, even if you're not hungry. Because binging a lot of times doesn't have to do with hunger and enough. I am at a place where if I have a binge, I'm okay to like not eat the, you know, dinner that night or something. But I've built enough safety with myself to do that. But other people, maybe we've got to build enough safety with ourselves that we will give ourselves food on a regular basis. That's why we started binging to begin with, because we restricted ourselves and we were denied our, you know, we had some sort of food insecurity or food scarcity. So I think for you, go ahead and have that meal if you want it, even if you're not totally hungry, because again, that helps you build more trust and safety with your body.
Okay.
And then let me go back to the other question. I think you did an experiment, Wanda, where you're like, okay, let me bring these bars up and see, you know, and like, yeah, I've binged on them before, but you know, let me just have them and then I'll have them if I'm hungry. And I think you just did an experiment. You collected some data that, okay, if I have the bars kind of like right close to me, then I'm more likely to have urges and to give in to those urges.
Right.
That's not what happened.
Okay.
You know, it's like, and so, no, I don't keep every food in this house that, you know, that like, it would be great. It'd be great if I could just keep every single food in this house, but I don't keep ice cream in my house on a regular basis. I plan it. Like I go and get me a pint of Ben and Jerry's and then I eat it and then I'm done. But I just don't have like, you know, a huge amounts of everything because I'm going to think about it and I'm going to like say, oh, do I want that? Oh, do I not want it? Should I put it on my plan? All that kind of stuff. Now I have some stuff, but I just think it's totally okay. Coach Kathy reminded me of this the other day. It's okay not to keep everything in the house. That doesn't mean that you're out of control. That doesn't mean that, you know, you'll never keep it in the house eventually. But let's set ourselves up to make it easier for ourselves. Let's set ourselves up for success. It doesn't mean we're broken or we're out of control. We're just setting it up to make it easier. So it sounds like with you that, 10 bars upstairs with you is not you making it easy. But you just
try. So I go back and forth with buying the bars versus not buying the bars, you know. And so, like, you know, I might want to just not buy the bars because that's if I want the bars, then not to buy so many.
I was going to say, maybe not buy as many, right? Because you don't want to, we got to watch ourselves with restriction, right? We don't want to not ever give ourselves permission to have things. And that's kind of the, like the ice cream example I was using. I give myself permission to have ice cream, but I don't keep it in the house a lot because I just don't want the chatter around it. I just have it, I enjoy it, and it's done. And then I plan it again later. But it's middle ground. Go ahead.
All right. So today I came downstairs and I had my planned dinner, some vegan chili that I made. It was really good. And then I was like, I should have a bar. And then I did, this is right before the call, I did a pause. And I was like, no, you're not hungry, but, you know, I'm not going to have it right now. If I want it later, and I'm glad I don't usually pause. I'm glad I did pause because I didn't eat it. Because a lot of times what happens is one, that'll set me off, and then I end up binging on the other one. So I'm glad I paused and listened to myself.
Such a win. I'm glad we're kind of in the win because that is the power of the pause. You did pause plus permission, which I want to just point out real quick, and we'll end with this, where those two things are so powerful. Power of the pause, we know, just gives us some space, like I was talking earlier, to just kind of think about, are we hungry or do we really want this? Why do we want this? Just gives us a little bit of space between the urge and the food. And then the other thing you did, Wanda, was that you said, okay, I can have it later if I want it, or, you know, if I'm hungry or whatever, but you gave yourself permission. That's the opposite of restriction, is permission, right? Because we know that anytime you restrict, that a binge is coming at some point. It's that binge restrict cycle. And so it's like you gave yourself the gift of that pause, but then you also gave yourself permission to have it later if you wanted it. And that's how you're building safety with yourself around this food. So good. Right.
So good. Thank you so much.
Proud of you. All right. So good to see you. All right. Take care.
Good to see you.
All right, y'all. We are out of time. Just flies by. But we got 4 good coaching sessions in. And I know there was some good stuff in the chat. But y'all, if you are not in our binge support group in Facebook, I am in there every day I'm working. I'm in there just chit-chatting and supporting you all. So if you are not in that group, in our Facebook group, please get in there. And then also, we're always in Ask Coaches. And I like to I scan the questions when I get in Ask Coaches. If there's anything around binging that, that I'd like to answer, then I get in there and answer. But we are here for you in all the ways. And I will be back next month and every month thereafter to coach you all and help you all in this place where we are, where we just maybe binge sometimes, and that's okay, and we can love ourselves through it. So, all right, y'all, have a great evening. So good to see everybody. Thanks again, Coach Kathy, for being your amazing self in the chat, and y'all have a good night. See you soon. Okay, bye.